And how do we know when God speaks to us? I thought that would be a great thing to talk about this morning is the voice of God. It's an amazing thing to know, what does it sound like? People ask me, my daughter has been talking to me about this a lot lately, my six-year-old. She says, Daddy, what does God sound like? And she wants to know. I think that's a great question. A lot of people ask that question. We've been talking about it in our home group, which has really been neat. We've been talking about it in our youth leadership team. And I thought, well, why not talk to about it in the congregation? How do you know God's voice? What does it sound like? I don't know about you, but usually what happens with me is when I think God's speaking to me or I think something, three things happen. I either say, and maybe this is something you can relate to. Was that God? Was that me just thinking that? Or is that the devil? I don't know if you've ever been there. How do I know it's God? Or how do I know it's just not me kind of, maybe that was just, how do you know when it's God? And what does God sound like when He speaks to you? How do you know that what I like to call the knower? How do you know when God speaks to you? How do you know that thing? Something inside. Well, I know God can speak in different ways. One of my favorite stories, and I know when we first started out the church, I said, we really need to hear God's voice. I've had a few things in my life that have absolutely just been fun ways that God has said, I can speak to you in different ways. I can make myself known to you right now and do that and show you that. But sometimes God does it in other ways, strange ways. Sometimes He uses other people. I shared a story, and it's probably one of my favorite stories, and I'll just give you the short version for those of you that know. When I was using a cordless phone one time in an apartment complex in Alabama, and I made a phone, going to make a phone call, and the girls were talking on the other end of the line, and I could hear them talking and saying things. And the short of it is, as I said, you shouldn't talk like that about your mom. Well, the short of the story is they couldn't hear me. And I couldn't believe my phone was picking up their phone. We had the same signals. And so after about 15 minutes, I hung up after listening in and thought, wow, these girls really got some issues, and the one, especially with their mom. After some time went by, well, a couple weeks later had gone by, and some of you know the rest of the story. I picked up my phone again, and here's these two girls again, and on my phone, I can't use it again because I know they're on the same frequency. And so I'm listening, and the same girl's saying the same thing. And finally, I just interrupted, said, you shouldn't talk about your mom. And it got real quiet because this time my phone worked. And the girls freaked out. They're screaming, who was that? And they ran around the room trying to find out, you know, in one apartment, nobody here, must be your house, nobody at my house, must be your house. They went on talking, and they kept saying, finally I said, you shouldn't talk like that. And the one girl said, who is this? As she was screaming, I said, this is God. And the girl goes, oh, God, where are you? And I said, I'm in your closet. And the girl hung up. They both hung up. Now, who's to say? Now, the question is, we would say, was that just me doing that? Or did God want to get these girls' attention to not break the fifth commandment of the Bible, which says, honor your mom and dad? First commandment. How do we know that God doesn't use us in ways? And sometimes we ask the question, is that God? Or is that just me? Or is that just a little something I ate last night? You ever have thoughts like that where you're just kind of going along and something, you think about it and you go, now, was I just thinking out loud or was God placing that in my mind? Or is the devil trying to trick me? Now, I hear this probably more than anything else, those three things. Pastor, how do I know when God's speaking to me? Because oftentimes I think it's just myself. And Pastor, how do I know if it's not the devil trying to trick me? Because sometimes I'm thinking I should do this, but how do I know if I do that? And I think that's a great way to start out this morning, because Samuel was in the same boat. If you look in your Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 3 there, the very first thing that it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. That's interesting. Now listen, as a parent, I know my kids' voices. I have five children. Some of you have called my house, and sometimes I'll call your house, and that'll happen. I'll say, Frank? And he'll say, no, this is Vinny. I said, man, you sound just like your dad. And that'll happen in my house, too. I don't know, does it happen in your house sometimes with the girls and the mom and the guys and the dad? Sometimes that happens, and you can't tell them apart. But in my house, I know my kids. I know their voices. Now, my wife is much better at this than I am. In fact, when my kids were young, they could be on a playground, and there could be 100 kids out on the playground. And one kid starts crying. And she's just sitting there. But the minute it's ours, in 100 children, it could be our kid. And she's her ears like, oh, that's my kid. I mean, they're good at this. Moms are really, they have that radar. And they know that's my kid crying. Because they just know their kids' voices. They just know. I think God says the same thing to us. And in this it says, the word of the Lord was rare. And I want to talk to you about that. I think there's a rarity. We need to know God's voice. But if it's a rare thing, how can we become familiar with it? And I want you to become familiar with the voice of God so you say, oh, I know that's God speaking to me. Can we get to the place where you know in your life, you say, well, that's God, and I'm going to obey it because I know it. I think we live in a world that the word of the Lord is rare because it's so noisy in our world. It really is. It's hard to hear God's voice because, I can go anywhere and kids have these iPods plugged into their ears. Now, when I was growing up, you could hear because we didn't even, Walkmans were just coming out with cassettes, okay? When I was in high school, just about to graduate, they had these really cool things that you could carry around, these Walkmans. You couldn't hook them to your arm and work out in the gym. You carried them around. You strapped them to something. You duct taped them around your body, okay? But you had a Walkman. And they were really cool kind of things. But you didn't walk around going, hey, I can't hear you. You didn't have cars with these. Some cars did. But there's so much noise anymore. Everywhere you go, it's just noisy. How can I hear things when there's so much noise around me? I brought this with me. I shared this with my small group, and I shared this with this was on our leadership retreat. I picked this up a couple summers ago. This is a mosquito repellent. That's what it is. You just take this little bottom knob, and you turn it on. Can you hear it? Let me shut it off. You hear it? No, you don't. It's such a high-pitched frequency. They say that the mosquitoes can hear, and it's so irritating, it repels them. It's kind of using the concept of certain pitches, like for dogs, that irritates them, and it'll cause them to bark. They even found this study to be true in riots, that they can make a certain pitch and cause your body to react to it. The problem is it reacts to the police officers, too, in the riot. It's interesting, this is on. You can't hear it because there's other noises. What's interesting about this that I found out is kids are using these as ringtones on their phones. And they're finding out that in school the thing will go off and they'll hear it and they'll just kind of look at their phone where their teachers can't. They said the younger you are, the easier it is to hear it. That when you get to a certain age, you can't hear certain pitches. I can hear this, it's on. Of course, I have it right here. There, I can hear it good now. You probably can't hear it. There's too many noises with the fan going. What do you hear? You hear voices, little kids, fans, humming, coughing, pastors. You know what's amazing about that? I wonder how rare God's voice is because we can't hear him anymore. We live in a world that has said, if we can drown out the voice of God, we will all be better off. That's what our world has said, by the way. I'm not kidding. In the 1960s, they said, we need to really take care of this whole prayer thing in school, the voice of God. In the 1970s and 80s, they said, we really need to deal with the idea of having the word of the Lord in our public buildings, in our courthouses, in our school systems. And we began removing them. I need to shut that off. That's really getting irritating. You can't hear it. If you're close to it, you can. And the word of the Lord has become very rare in the United States of America. And it's become so noisy. We've filled our lives with so many things. Think about this. And I don't mean this in a judgmental way because I live in this world. But when I go home, I don't know what happens when you go home. There's usually a radio or a television. There's usually kids talking and homework. There's a lot of things that go on. When I wake up in the morning, it's usually pretty much the same thing. What's the weather? What's going on outside? Let's get the car started. Let's get the breakfast going. Let's get the kids going. The showers are running. Everything happens and there's noise. The question is, when do you find a time where you can get so quiet that it doesn't matter what's going on around you, but you can hear the voice of God? It's so hard to find places for the voice of God. I know for myself personally, I have a few places I go where nobody can bother me. I usually go down, well, I'm not going to tell you. Because you'll come out there and say, well, I know where Pastor is today at this time. But I have a couple hours I like to grab every day and go spend with the Lord. It's just my time. I found it's a very consistent time. It's not every day, but it's very consistent. And it's me and the Lord. And sometimes it'll be real quiet, but oftentimes I like to put a little praise music on and then shut it off. And I can get real quiet before the Lord. It's my time. But you know, we live in a world that's so noisy, it's so hard to hear it. And here's usually what happens. When it says the word of the Lord was rare, I wonder what they were doing because Eli was the high priest. We've got to look into the scripture and ask this question. The word of the Lord is rare, but we have a priest who's hearing from the Lord. But it's very rare that he's hearing from him. The question is, what is he delivering to the people on a daily or weekly basis? I would say it's probably his own opinions. It's so easy to give our own opinion. And here's how it happens. We tend to rubber stamp God. I meet people all the time, and someone shared with me not long ago, they said, Pastor, as a pastor, I bet as a new church, there are a lot of ideas. And I said, yes, there are a lot of ideas in a new church. I did not realize that. I don't know if there's a lot of ideas in an old church. I think there are in old churches, too. The ideas might just be older. But what I find is people tend to rubber stamp God. Now, follow me on this. And what I mean by this is, if I think God is speaking to me, or I want to know something from God, I believe that most people tend to go and start asking someone, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What? Now, follow me on this. Don't make a judgment until after the thought is done. What do you think about this? And we get all of this stuff, and then we go to God and say, hey, God, here we go. Would you please put your stamp upon this? Rather than, I believe the Lord is speaking to me. Yes. Okay, I'm hearing you. And then we go and say, I think the Lord is saying this to me. Now what do you think? Does that make sense? It's kind of which comes first, the chicken or the egg, okay? Which comes first? Do I seek out what God is saying to me first and then ask for confirmation? Or am I looking for confirmation? Then I go to God and hope He gives me a rubber stamp on it. How many of you, when you were seeking out your spouse, sought God first to say, Lord, before I even get into this relationship, is this what I should do? Or, hey, she's someone you ought to date. We need to introduce you to our friend. And then after you start dating for a while and somewhere down the road, I wonder what God thinks about this. In my premarriage counseling, I find this to be probably the number one thing I deal with is, what does the Lord have for the two of you in your vision and your mission together? What is it that God called the two of you together individually and then brought you together corporately to do? Well, we've never really asked Him that. We're really hoping this will work out. So you're really just wanting God to stamp what you've already decided. Now, I'll say this. God stamping what you've already decided can work too, okay? If you've already gotten yourself ahead of it, you can go back and say, okay, Lord, we want to make this right. I mean, the children of Israel did this. But what we find oftentimes is the word of the Lord is rare because oftentimes people aren't looking for the word of the Lord. They're looking for the word of other people to confirm it. Now, that confirmation should come according to Scripture through the word. I think, at least for me personally, it would be a scary thing to go to God and say, hey, God, speak to me whatever you want to say. I'll listen. Now, think about the implications of that. If you were to say, God, you can say anything you want to me, and I'll do it. Have you gotten to that place in your life where you could say to God, whatever you want? Because what if He says whatever He wants to you? That's a scary place. God, my job, my family, my life, my career, young people. Hey, God, I was thinking about doing this with my life, but then to say, okay, I'm going to set that aside for a while, and I'm going to just turn to God and forget about the things I've wondered. I'm just going to go to God and say, God, what do you want with my life? What would you do with me? I'm going to listen. You tell me anything you want. Now, can I tell you, if you've been walking with the Lord and you're wondering, what if I'm not in the right place? The proverb says this, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Or in other words, God will give you desires that are going to delight you in the Lord. See, it kind of works together. If you already have desires in your heart and you're walking in the Lord, it's probably going to be the same thing that he has already set up for you in your life. You're probably walking in his will already if you're delighting in him. And so the nervousness is, don't walk around going, am I doing the wrong thing all the time? Walk around saying, I don't want God's word to be rare to me. I don't want God to rubber stamp my life. I want to be obedient and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, you have permission. That's a dangerous place to live. But I want to be a dangerous person for God. And I hope you want to join in that. I think it's a great place. Eli was not in that place. Eli's the high priest, rarely heard from God. And I think if anybody needs to hear from God, it ought to be the priest, okay? If he doesn't hear from God, we're in trouble. But the people of God, to say just the priest hears from God, and the people of God are just shaking their heads going, I don't think so. We're hearing this. I think people of God, listen, when Jesus tore that temple curtain in two, it said you don't have to just go to the priest who goes in and talks to God. Everybody, come on into the presence of God. The word of the Lord will no longer be rare to you either. Come on in. And Samuel teaches us that the word of the Lord does not have to be rare. We need to meditate on God's word. Meditating on God's word and just listening to what he has to say. That's what it says in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who meditates on his word, and on his word he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of living water who yields his fruit in season and out of season. In other words, summer times are good in our lives, but in the wintertime, God says, I'll even produce in your life in the winter. When things are bad, I'll even produce in the bad times. And folks, hey, listen, I don't know about you, but in my bad times, I could really use God producing something in my life. I want to know when it's snowing and blowing outside. People walk up. It's so funny. We were back praying. We try to get together every Sunday before church and just have a prayer time and just focus on what's going on. And you need to understand, when our people come in and set up at 8 o'clock, it is very cold in here. Listen, you can bring your cold cuts, and they would stay good in this place, all right? It's chilly. They turn the heater on. Right now it's starting to feel a little bit better. But bless their hearts, some of our guys the last 2 weeks are just sitting against this wall and just shaking. Going, it is so cold. We go back to pray, and we're holding hands, and their hands are so cold. And I'm sweating. I said, I'm just warm-blooded. I'm sweating all the time. And Curtis said to me, your metabolism. And I said, Curtis, listen, you are the metabolism of fire. But I'm sitting there and I'm just sweating away. I want to be like that. Listen, in cold places, I want to be warm. When other people are negative, I want to be positive. When other people are cursing, I want to bless. When other people are having problems, I want to find the good in it. Isn't that what we ought to do? We ought to meditate on God so when it's snowing out, blessed are you when you meditate on the Word of God day and night. You are like a tree planted in streams of water. And in the wintertime, people walk up and go, you produce apples in the winter. You have fresh oranges, juicy, ripe oranges. And you peel that cover off and and you bite in and those oranges and the juice just squirts in your mouth. And people go, but it's frigid outside. And you say, you ought to be living a life that people can come up to you in good times and bad because you hear God. And you say, I trust you, God. I don't understand why it's cold in my life. I don't understand why people are cursing in my life. I don't understand why my job, I don't understand why my kids. But God, in my life, when my children walk up to me, they'll be able to find the fruit of God in my life. They'll find love. They'll find joy. They'll find the kind of patience in my life. Does this make sense, church? I want my children, I want you to be able to find in my life as a pastor the good things, even in the bad days. I want my children to find that in my life. I want my wife to come to me in the difficult days and say, she can find strength in my life because I'm like a tree planted in the streams of water. And in that time, the word of the Lord is no longer rare. The word of God is real in my life. And I think we can do that by meditating. The story goes on, and I love this. It says, speak in verse 9. Speak. Samuel says, for your servant is doing what? He's listening. He's listening. How much are we listening to God? I love this story. I'm trying to imagine this little boy who was dedicated. His mother couldn't have a child. And she says, if I can get pregnant, I will give my child. Now listen, I think that's a great thing to say, I would like to have a child. But when you start making deals with God, you're going to have to follow through on those deals with God. And it says, she says, if I could just have a baby, a son, I would be somebody. And God says, fine. Because she says, I will give him to you all of his days. She has a baby, and the first year goes by, she dedicates, like today, she dedicates her child to the Lord at the temple. She says, I got to take him home. He's not ready yet, Eli. So she takes him home. The second year, her husband turns, and he's a godly man. I love it. Because, honey, he's two now. Don't you think he needs to go over to the temple? Don't you think we need to fulfill our promise to God? I know, but no, honey. We talked about this last year. This is it. He's got to go. So off to the temple he goes, and he's raised by Eli, the high priest. He's sleeping in the temple in another room, and Eli was a very large man. He was a very robust priest. We know this because when he dies, he falls over on his chair. He's leaning on it. It breaks. I don't know what kind of chairs they made, but they weren't made out of aluminum, okay? They used, I'm sure, the material of the day. He was the high priest. I'm sure he had a very nice chair. He leans on the chair and it breaks. I can imagine he had one of those deep, robust voices as a high priest. He's in his room and Samuel is sleeping and he hears, Samuel. And I don't know what kind of voice, but he thought it was Eli. He gets up, he runs over to Eli. He says, Eli, and he wakes him up. Eli, I could just see this man, maybe deep in a snore. I don't know. But Eli wakes up. He goes, what do you want? He goes, what do I want? What do you want? You called me. Go back to bed. He does it again, and he hears this robust voice. He's confusing God's voice with Eli's. He doesn't know God's voice enough yet in his life to say, oh, that's God. He goes a third time, and Eli goes, I think something's going on here. I haven't seen this in a lot of days as the high priest, but I think God is speaking. Go and this time say, your servant is listening. Talk. And so he does that. So Samuel's confusing Eli and God. It's not unusual to say, is that me or is that God? Is that me or is that God or is that someone else? Who's speaking to me right now? Am I thinking these thoughts? And I think we need to have to say to God, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We need to get to the place where we know God's voice. John chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to flip over there in John chapter 10. We're going to flip through a few verses here. But I want you to see this. The Bible says, Jesus was speaking, and he says, my sheep know my voice. Yeah. My sheep know my voice. Listen, do you know God's voice? If he speaks to you, say, oh, that's God speaking to me. I need to listen. Well, in John chapter 10, Jesus was making a promise to his disciples saying, I'm about to leave. Now it's real easy for them to hear Jesus. They could talk to him like you and I talk. But in John chapter 10, in verse 25, I'm sorry, in John chapter 10, verse 3, excuse me, it says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Jesus is saying there, my sheep know me. They recognize my voice. In fact, when I talk, they come and they follow. Have you gotten into the place where you can talk to God, or he talks to you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is his voice? How much do you recognize when he's talking to you? Back in the story in 1 Kings, there's a story of a man by the name of Elijah. He's a prophet. And Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, and you're welcome to turn over there to see this for yourself. Elijah is just in a place where maybe you and I have been before. He's sitting back in a cave. And this great man of God is sitting in a cave and he's crying and whining. Have you ever gotten to that place where you're whining? And the best thing that could happen is for somebody to kind of walk in with a 2x4 and say, straighten up. You ever get whiny? Whiny with your spouse, whiny with your parents, whiny with God? God, look at what's going on. Now, you may not say that directly to Him, but you know what I'm talking about. The pouty attitude that says, woe is me. That we forget who God is, as though He doesn't know that we're hiding in that cave of sorrow. And He's sitting in this cave, and He starts to say this, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that feels this way. Nobody else. You ever been that way? Sometimes I hear that. It's a common message in the United States. We're the only ones who feel this way. Oh, this world, the way it's going. I'm the only one going through this. Nobody else is going through this. Nobody else has had cancer. Nobody else has lost their job. Nobody else has kids who are rebelling against them. Nobody else has been through what I've been. Nobody else has a husband or wife like mine. And we sit in our cave by ourselves, and we forget who God is, because the word of the Lord is rare to us, because we're not hearing His voice. And Elijah, it says there, you see the story in 1 Kings 19, verses 11. It says he's in this cave. Now, you got to understand, he just had a huge mountaintop experience. He had just fought against the prophets of Baal, 400 prophets. Fire of God came down and consumed it. They killed all the false prophets. He's so excited. He grabs a hold of himself and he runs. He gets his tunic and he runs down this mountain. And he's running so fast down this mountain, he looks and the king riding a chariot and horses is behind him. He outruns him down this mountain. He's so excited. He's having a great day. You ever have great days like that? You're so excited you could do anything for God. You've just seen the blessing of God. Something happened in your life in the past. And you go right from the mountain and right into the cave because you forgot to listen to God and you started listening to people. And what was the person? He gets off that mountain. He runs into the city. He says, God's finally going to be God again. And he looks and there's Jezebel, the king's wife, the queen of Israel. And he looks up and he says, hey, we won. God is going to be God. She says, I've heard and I don't care what you say. God's not going to be God. And before this day is over, you'll be dead. And he just went... What did I do? The mountain and fire and woo, woo. We had a great church service and woo. And God says, what are you doing in the cave, Elijah? That's what he says. Because he ran right from that. Because remember, he had God spoke. God says, I'm going to be God. He had Jezebel speak. Oh, no, he's not. And what does he do? He goes, sits in a cave and he just sits there. And he doesn't say, speak, God, for your servant's listening. He says, I'm not listening to anything. I'm so mad. I'm the only one. And then the Bible says he waited for God. And what happened? The first thing that happened, it says there was a great fire or a great wind. And it shook everything. I mean, there's like a tornado that comes through. And he looks and he peeks outside the cave. He hears they say it's like a train. Okay. I've never heard the train sound. I've been in two tornadoes. I live in South Dakota and Oklahoma. Lots of tornadoes. I've never heard a train. I just saw the wind and I saw buildings moving. And I saw things flying. Not cows, just things. And he looks out, he's looking for God. And as he's looking for God, this huge wind and this thunder and this train, surely God's in this. And it goes by, no God. And it says a great fire came, or an earthquake. And God wasn't in the earthquake. A great fire was raging. And he looks out, no God. Certainly God would be in the fire. He was in the fire on the mountain. He'd be in this fire. No God. Because you know what we do? We tend to look for God the same way that He spoke to us before. And God may say, I'm going to speak to you in a different way. I just may do it different. And then what does God do? He comes in a, what does it say? A still whisper. Nobody listens to whispers. Because when you start whispering, you know what happens when somebody starts talking real quiet? Everybody starts doing this. Because if you're yelling, people start doing this. Maybe God doesn't want you to do this anymore. I'm glad this isn't a pew and somebody didn't buy it in dedication to somebody's grandmother. Because you get in trouble for those kind of things. This is just a chair. And you start, because see, if he's whispering, you got to get close. And God wants us to get so close to him that he could touch us. Because if you start screaming, and the louder you get, if we were to yell, which I won't do, you're going to plug your ears because nobody likes that. How close are you to God? Because we've got to hear Him. He wants to speak to us. And it says He spoke to him. Let me just give you about Elijah. Some of us want the earthquake because we want the world to move. We need the world to move. Some of us want the huge wind because we want God to just blow us away. Some of us want the fire of God because we just need that to just come in and burn up the stuff in our lives. But God says, I want to speak to you in the small wind. And Jesus proves it. Because when Jesus told the parable of the talent, He said, look, I don't want to do these things in your life because you never listened to me. If you've ever been there in your life with your children or your spouse or anyone that you've known, isn't it true that communication is the number one thing to a healthy relationship? Isn't it interesting that sometimes when you say to your children, and my kids certainly aren't like this, they're perfect, that when you say something to them, you never have to repeat it. Yeah, you guys owe me a dollar. You ever have to repeat yourself? You ever get to the point where you've said it so many times you just stop saying it? Clean your room. The laundry doesn't hit the floor. I've heard that 1,000 times from my wife. There gets to be a point where you're so tired of saying it. Could you just quit saying it? Because I'm just not going to say it anymore. Can I ask you a question? If God were speaking to us in a still, small voice and constantly asking us to do things for Him and we're not listening, is there a point where God just says, they don't listen to me. I'm just not going to talk to them. Because I've always wondered, why does God always talk to that person? It seems like they're just doing great things for God, but God's not talking to me. Maybe God stopped talking because He got tired of getting a no response. Because we're not hearing the voice of God. Jesus said it this way. There was a great man, and he decided to leave his servants some talents. And he went to the one man. He said, sir, here's a talent I give to you. Go and use it. Here, sir, here's 5 talents. Go and use it. Here, sir, my servant, take these 10 talents and go. And these 3 men, they walked off on their way, and they thought to themselves, what will I do? He's given me something. And so off they went. The master returned after many days, and he came back, and he said to the man with the 10, he said, how are you doing? He says, oh, I'm doing great. He says, you asked me to do something, and I took this, and I did this with it. And look, here's 20. I doubled what you gave me. Thanks for trusting me with this stuff. He says, man, you not only got trusted, look at, thanks. And he has 20. He says, hold on to that. And he came to the man with 5. He says, hey, I took these 5 and I got creative with it. Thank you for giving me those things. And I used it. And look what I did. Here's 10. And he went over to this man. And the man, he says, where's it at? He goes, oh, I'll be right back. I know right where it's at. And he runs over and he digs it up in the ground and he pulls up the 1. And he comes over and he says, I knew that you were a hard man to work for. And so I made sure I wasn't going to lose that. Oh, no siree. I know how important that thing was. So I took that 1 thing and I held on to it. I made sure nobody stole it. I made sure nobody tarnished it. I buried it in the ground. And here, let me shine it up. What you gave me, I give it back to you, all of it, exactly the way you gave it to me. And Jesus looks at this man and says, you horrible servant, give that to me. He says, wait a minute, you let them keep theirs. Yeah, I did. Give it to me. Well, wait a minute. Why do they keep that? Give it to me now. He takes it and he walks over here and he says, hey, you made 20? Or the 10? He says, yeah. He says, here, have 1 more. This guy over here, you know what he's doing. Well, that's not fair. He says, oh, you want fair, do you? I trusted you with this. And I expected you to go do something with your life. Even if you would have taken it and put it into a bank and made interest, it would have been better than to have buried it in the ground. But because you did not use what I gave you, even what you have will be taken from you. And for the man who has much, even more will be given. Because he knows how to use what I've given him. And I look at Eli and Samuel. And Eli did not know what to do when God spoke. But Samuel comes along and he says, speak, for I am listening. And God says, I'm going to do more and more and more in your life. And Eli, you're done. You're just done. And Eli ends up his life. And the prophecy was, he will be cut off. Because here's a man who ought to be hearing from God of all people. He's a priest. And here's a little boy. A little boy who says, speak, I'm listening. What do you want to say to me? In fact, I'm going to shut up right now. Because I have one mouth and two ears. And two minus one equals meditate and be quiet. That's the math equation of God. You want to know God? Be quiet and listen and begin to nurture that voice. So when God says to you, walking down the street, there's a hungry lady. I'll bet she's hungry. That's too bad. I'm busy. I'm here with a bunch of teens in Philadelphia doing a leadership training. No, 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 no. Here's a hungry lady. And so I went over and said, ma'am, are you hungry? She says, yes. Could you do anything for me? I said, I'm not going to give you any money. I don't know you. And she says, I'm hungry. I said, I would love to buy you lunch. So I took her and a few students, and we went into the subway right there in downtown Philadelphia, because in Philadelphia, to pass out food is illegal. You can go to jail for it. A youth pastor, just speaking at a conference last year, went to jail. He was arrested because you cannot feed vagrants in downtown Philadelphia. They passed the city ordinance. You know what? I'll go to jail. I didn't know that at the time, but I took her into Subway and I bought her lunch, and she just looked at me with tears coming down her face. She says, I'm a grandmother. I don't have much. She says, I wasn't here asking for a handout. I was just hungry, but I could tell you were a man of God when you walked by. Tell what? All I was doing was walking with some teenagers and she was hungry. And something inside said, she's hungry. Give her something to eat. And the Bible says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You ever buy God a cheeseburger or a Happy Meal? Yeah, I bet you have. Of course we do. Because you see, when the Word of God, and God says, thank you for just simply buying a sandwich. Because you'll buy a sandwich, maybe I'll let you dig a well in Africa. Because you gave a sandwich, maybe you can build a church in Jamaica. Because you did a sandwich, maybe I'll let you start a school with 90 students in Nicaragua. Because you did a sandwich, maybe you can start a church called Grace Ministry. You see, it's in the little things that we do every day when we hear the voice of God, the whisper, that God says, if I whisper to you and you'll listen, then I will give you thunder, I will give you earthquakes, and I will give you fire. You see, we all want the fire, but we've got to have the whisper first. Because we've got to do something with the one talent before we get the 21 talents. Does that make sense? Folks, this is, I tell you, when God was speaking to me about this in Samuel, it was just opening my eyes to say, God, you are so faithful to those who are faithful. And your faithfulness goes to all generations. And you know what? There are going to be children and grandchildren because of your faithfulness to God. Because you fed the hungry. Because you clothed the naked. Because you ministered to the weak. Because you did this, others will find the benefit in that. The last thing that we have here, and we'll close with this. I want to give you how to know it is God. Is the last thing that it says in this, verse 21 of 1 Samuel. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through what? Through his word. God wants to reveal himself through his word. The word revelation is a very simple word. It's the word apocalypso. You've heard the word apocalypse, the end. Actually, that's not what it means. Apocalypso, apocalypse in the Greek means the unveiling. I want to show you something. If you could imagine a statue, and everybody's gathered in and the cover's over it and they've been anticipating, they can't wait to see it. It says, God wants to unveil to us that we might go, oh, that's God. God wants to unveil things in people's lives. He wants to speak in our lives and He wants to unveil things to show people and say, look, and what does He want to show? He wants to show His Son Jesus Christ that the world might go, oh, there's hope, there's love, there's forgiveness. Through you listening to God, He wants to reveal things. And it says, He continued to reveal things through His Word to Samuel. He continued to do that. The only way to understand God is to have an interpreter. You and I, growing up, learned a language. Maybe you learned two or three languages. I'm not very good at languages. I know one. And I try to use that carefully. I know English and I understand English. if I need to go somewhere and I've been in other places, I need an interpreter so that I can understand what they're saying. Oftentimes, I don't know about you, but before I became a Christian, I would read the Bible many times as a kid, many times as a teenager, and I would do what everyone does. I would open the Bible, and you know what most people do? I'm going to read the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of that. Okay, I don't understand it. That's how most people deal with God. You cannot understand God without the interpreter. You see, in the beginning, God created you and I. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, He breathed His Spirit into the dust, into man that He had formed, and man became a living being, a nephesh hayeh. The Spirit of God came into us, and we became a living being. Look at us. Here we are, living beings. I don't think you were multiplied protoplasm out of a pool of whatever it was. I'm going to go with my faith. And I'm going to go with this scripture. And I'm going to believe that God created in me a living being. You see, this morning, animals are not gathering around talking about Jehovah God. My dog's at home just waiting for me to get home to feed him again. That's it. You see, the plants are just hoping to stay warm. The grass is hoping spring will come to grow again. But none of it is going to praise God, sin, be redeemed, and go to heaven. You and I are the nephesh hayeh. You are the Spirit of God breathed into dust, living for eternity now. You and I have the opportunity to know a God, but we are separated from God by sin, and we can't know God because of the sin within us. And so Jesus Christ comes along in John chapter 14, verse 25, and He says, I am going to give you a counselor. And this counselor is going to be wonderful, and He's going to be the Allos Parakletos. He's going to teach you everything. John 14:25. He's going to teach you everything. You see, when I tried to read the Bible before, I looked at it and went, Allos Parakletos, no clue. That's about what it meant. I mean, it was like reading Greek. You ever do that where you read the Bible and it just makes no sense? And then when I got saved, the pastor gave me a Bible. And I was born again. And the Spirit of God that was in me was alive. And the Holy Spirit came in. And all of a sudden I had an interpreter. And the one who created me now gave me an interpreter so we can understand the same language. And we began to speak the same language. And now I understood God. He gave me a King James Bible. Now when people get saved, I don't usually hand out a King James Bible. It's a very good translation. But listen, as a 19-year-old who just came off of drugs, living in a college town without any church or any Christians that I knew of, that's all I had. I would go to my Bible and read, Thou saith unto thee that thou must... And I'm going, I have no clue. No, I, every night, reading the Word of God, every night in my room, guys are downstairs having bong and keg parties, going, where's Mitch? My roommates, because I'm a brand new Christian with two roommates on 412 High Street, okay? These guys are talking about their parties. I'm upstairs. I can't get enough of the Word of God. It is making sense to me. It is changing my life. It is real to me. And God is speaking over and over to my spirit. It's changing my life. Because God is now beginning to communicate with me for the first time. I'm listening. And I have the interpreter. God wants to interpret things in our lives. And I want to show you one more scripture. And I want you to turn over and see this if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Very important here that with your eyes you might see what God's Word is saying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. I said 2 Corinthians, didn't I? And I look at that, and you know, I had that feeling that would happen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's so strange. I read that this morning and I even wrote it down wrong after I told myself not to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. This is how it all works. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God revealed it to us by what? His Spirit, the Allos Parakletos, the one who will lead us in all truth. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now look at verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. How can you know God? Through His Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to us through the interpreter. He wants to speak to us through those things. And so this morning, let me give you a couple of checklists. Here's four questions to ask yourself this morning as you go. Am I meditating? Am I meditating? In other words, am I listening to God? Number two, am I studying the language? Am I learning the language of God? Number three, am I pleasing or am I grieving the Holy Spirit? See, the Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. It says don't make Him unhappy. In other words, when the Holy Spirit tells you something, go do it. If you don't do it, that's grieving Him. And then the last thing I would ask that, to check in our spirit in a checklist would be, can I be trusted with the things of God? Am I trustworthy from God? Can He give me something and say, there you go. Now more will be given. You see, as we talk about this voice and knowing God and hearing God's voice, obviously it has to line up with His Word. It has to be consistent with the Holy Scriptures. It has to be consistent with history. And it has to be leading to the peace of God for His glory. You will never probably be able to hear something like this. If I weren't standing so close, I doubt I would be able to hear this. But I can hear God's voice. I've been a Christian now for 25 years. I know when it is that God speaks to me. Do I mess up? Yes, I do. Am I like a child at times who has been told to clean his room by God and I failed to do it? Yes, I have. I don't know about you. God's told me to clean up my act a few times. And there's been a few times He's had to come back and say the very same thing. But to listen to God, get in the habit to know His voice. My wife and I, we were over in Europe for a wedding of a young lady we had led to the Lord. And while we were there, I found out something interesting. I think it's perfect in this. We went to the Eiffel Tower. We had a chance. We spent 3 days in Paris. Neither one of us speak an ounce of French. Getting a hotel, we weren't sure if we got a hotel or if we were selling something illegal. I mean, it was simply a matter of pointing, pulling out money and pointing and hoping we all had the right deal. I did not know it was the European Cup World Championship in Paris. There were 10 million extra people in the city of Paris. I did not book a room for the very last night saying, oh, we'll just get an extra hotel because we got a deal on the place we had. We did not know we were also in the red light district right around the corner from the Moulin Rouge, which is one block from our hotel down the mountain hillside, but also one block from the Sacré-Cœur, one of the most holy places in the world. We were within steps of one of the most sinful places and one of the most holy places. Sometimes it's just a matter of which way you're going to go. My wife and I, while we were there, had to get a room for the last night or sleep on the street where millions were during that. And the only night that it rained in Europe while we were over there for 10 days was that night. As I went to a place right around the corner from the red light district, right on that street, I went to a guy who spoke no English, which very few did. And I said, how much? And he looked at me and said words, and we made a deal. And what I got out of it, I thought, was 45 euros. And I thought, I hope that's not an hour. Because this area, it could have been by the hour. We ended up getting a room that was run down, and it was about as gang-riddled and prostitute-riddled and rough as it got. But we had a room for the night. We decided one day to go to the Eiffel Tower. We got to the Eiffel Tower, and it was just so frustrating not speaking any French. But it was also an adventure for us, and I like adventures. I'm not sure my wife likes as much. As we were there, there were tens of thousands of people in this huge monument, and these elevators that take you up to a level, sideways and then up, let you out, and another elevator that can take you higher. as we were there, we were trying to figure out stuff and do stuff. And as we got up there, in all of these thousands and the noises and the volumes and the bands and the ole, 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 from Barcelona's team and from Madrid's team that played each other and from all these, or from the teams, or England, I'm sorry, the other one was England. All the screaming and the noise and the drunkenness and the people that were up there and all the different languages. All of a sudden, in the middle of the Eiffel Tower, in all these huge crowds, we heard, yeah, I suppose, I don't know, probably about five. And we swung around and looked. There was somebody from America. And they were from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I said, you're, and Susan, of course, you're American. Yes, we are. And they looked at us like we were weird, but it was so nice after a week of this to you know. And we were like, where are you from? And they were like, oh, we're from here. And then there was another guy, and he was from Lansing, Michigan. And we're like, hey, we're from Port Huron. Yeah, great. And we started talking. It was so good to hear English and talk to someone in English. Can I tell you something? When you know God's voice, it doesn't matter how crazy the world is, how drunk it is, what kind of district you're in, or where you're at. When you know the voice of God, He'll speak and it will jerk and snap your neck around and you go, ah, oh, it's God. Thanks. How are you? It is so good to hear from you again. Practice hearing the voice of God. It'll change your life. Let's stand together and sing about God's faithfulness. Actually, you know what? We're going to hold off on that, band. Let's hold off. Let's pray together. And our benediction is this, that you might have the sensitivity that God today, if you haven't heard from Him and you're looking for the thunder, if you're looking for the earth to shake in your life, maybe today that you would find a place to say, God, would you give me that gentle whisper? And Lord, I will stretch, I will climb as close to you as I have to. Father, thank you today for the Word of God. It is not rare to us in this day. And we will join in our benediction to say like the boy Samuel, speak, for your servants are listening. Father, would you speak to us? And as we go from this place, may we hear that gentle tugging, whether it's for a sandwich or whether it's for salvation. God, speak to us that we might do your will. Entrust to us the talents and help us to do your will. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may His peace go with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And don't forget to sign up.